So good afternoon, I'm Catherine Keatsman, and I want to first acknowledge my co-authors on this project, Steve Wallace and Rosana Leos, and we work together at the Center for Health Policy Research. And I'm going to be talking about strategies and opportunities for increasing the use of clinical preventive services by older adults. And I have no relationships to disclose. And I do want to acknowledge that this is a study that's supported by the CDC and in collaboration with the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors. So our primary objective was to find ways to increase the use of clinical preventive services, things such as breast and colorectal cancer screenings, bone density testing, blood pressure checks, and flu shots by older adults. And we were especially interested in finding examples and opportunities for community-based efforts to engage, deliver, or provide follow-up for these services, especially with diverse populations of adults. And we were looking at a group that was age 50 and older. So we know that older adults are at increased risk for a number of diseases that can be prevented or caught and treated early on. And from data gathered from adults age 50 plus through the California Health Interview Survey in 2009, we found that 50% of Californians over 50 had not received a flu shot within the past year, and 22% had never been screened for colorectal cancer. And we also found that there were disparities in clinical preventive service use by race and ethnicity. For example, African Americans and Latinos were more likely than whites and Asians to not have gotten a flu shot in the past year. Latinos were almost twice as likely than whites to report never having been screened for colon cancer. And Asian American women were less likely to have gotten a mammogram when compared to white women. So we launched an effort to learn from community stakeholders in a few different sectors. These were groups, these were stakeholders in public health, in aging services, at community health centers, and in other community organizations. And that was a very diverse group of community organizations, including pharmacies, YMCAs, and work sites. And we were trying to find out whether they were involved with initiatives that were trying to increase CPS, I'll refer to it as CPS, uptake, or if they were implementing any interventions that focused on older adults and the provision of CPS in the community. We conducted 43 in-depth telephone interviews with program administrators, planners, clinicians, and other direct staff, and we convened a stakeholder meeting to talk about what we had learned, what the identified strategies were, and the opportunities to sort of move this effort forward. And then from these in-depth interviews and the stakeholder discussions, we developed a series of four brief papers. And they're here if you want some at the end of the session. These papers focus on some of the key strategic actions that were identified that can facilitate access to and use of clinical preventive services by these older adults. So the community stakeholders identified 14 different strategies that they thought were effective for increasing clinical preventive service use. And many of these included cross-sector collaborations and expanded program efforts. In public health, strategies included the use of technology, and that included effective use and sharing of electronic health records, immunization registries, and online appointment scheduling. They also highlighted that many public health departments are positioned to track and compare clinical preventive service use at the local level and can become an important resource to others who are involved with these preventive health efforts. And also noted by this group was the promise of incorporating clinical preventive service education and referral and delivery into the services provided by patient navigators. And these were seen as particularly helpful for advancing delivery of CPS among underserved minority and immigrant populations. In the aging services group, this is since given that they're already providing services specifically to older adults, they're really ideally situated to advance these efforts. And they highlighted a number of programs that they already deliver and some of the resources that they could bring to these efforts. And those include programs like the Chronic Disease Self-Management Program. And that was seen as really a natural host for expanding this agenda and just incorporating a more upstream and preventive piece into the chronic disease self-management. Also, aging and disability resource centers, which is an existing system and a source of information for older adults. And it really provides a broad range of information about medical and social services that they need. Would also be a good home for advancing and promoting the need for clinical preventive services. And then also discussed by this group was that there's a very rich volunteer workforce that's built into aging service delivery, into the area agencies on aging. There are a number of programs that older adults are engaged in community work, and it seemed that this might be an ideal role for some of the older adult volunteers to assume, to do more peer-to-peer counseling, sort of navigating on their own to each other. Then we talked to community health centers. Of course, they're already charged with delivering these services, but they talked about how they could do it better. And for example, like the public health departments, they mentioned the importance of appropriately using technology to track clinical preventive service use. And they also talked about the movement towards more person-centered care and then how that could better support clinical preventive service delivery efforts. And they think they're going to be better positioned to manage patient care in general through these person-centered models and through shared knowledge, because they're really pushing forward more interdisciplinary cross-sector work through the use of these holistic teams, that they can have increased efficiency with delivery and include clinical preventive services in that agenda. We also talked to these other community organizations, and again, this is a really diverse group of community organizations, but their strategies included making clinical preventive services accessible, because they're able to reach older adults where they live and work and play and shop, especially when they're already engaged in health-related activities. And work sites were, of course, you might guess, were most likely to suggest that they might be able to provide incentives, because it works well for the employer to have a healthy workforce. And those could be, from our interviews, those could be very token, $5, coupons or something, but just a little something to encourage folks to get the services that they need. One common strategy, and not surprising probably to anybody in this room, was all of them talked about forging strategic partnerships. And in order to bring together social services, medical services, to work from an aging service provider perspective, you need the appropriate personnel if you're going to deliver clinical preventive services. You don't have an RN to do the flu shot or whatever. These partnerships become very important. And it was through these collaborations that these stakeholders felt that they could really expand these efforts, working with those who could provide the staff they needed or the equipment, perhaps the ability to get reimbursed for services delivered, and so forth. And the collaborations were also seen as really an essential point of entree to reach those who are among the underserved. So by working with a community organization that already serves a population that the leader of the effort is not familiar with or doesn't have a relationship with, they can bridge these boundaries. And a couple examples right here in California. Lifelong Medical Care is right across the bay in Oakland, and they are a community health center, an FQHC, they offer examples of productive efforts to increase CPS use. They engage older adults in a number of locations outside of the clinic, within the community. They have a registered nurse who regularly visits senior centers and residences, senior housing facilities, and throughout the year, staff members offer educational classes on prevention, and they also host clinics that deliver preventive services to older adults, and including they offer a weekly hypertension clinic and an annual flu clinic. Down a little bit south in our part of the woods, where UCLA is housed, well, we don't have this project right at UCLA, but this is a REACH project that was conducted in 2010, initiated in 2010, which is a CDC-funded project. And they expanded they already had a program of Immunize LA Kids, and a couple of years ago they expanded their efforts to include adults. And this is a coalition that's really focused on creating culturally relevant interventions to address barriers to immunization. And now they've extended this to older adults. They're a coalition that works to link public and private agencies, healthcare providers, and the community to collectively develop and implement strategies that will improve immunization rates, especially among racial and ethnic minority groups in underserved areas. So the strategies include the use of community outreach and education and provider education, and the formation of lasting partnerships. And then finally, it seems that based on the feedback from these stakeholders, the use of community settings really does have great potential to increase clinical preventive service use by older adults. And again, the partnerships are really critical for making this possible. By drawing on each other's financial and human capital, I think that there's some great opportunities out there. But the silos have to talk to each other, and somebody's got to take the lead. And that was another theme that came up, was the leadership was really important to make sure there was accountability through these whatever partnerships or collaborations were formed. And again, a systems approach would really help frame this to bring all these different provider groups together and help them and support through different policy measures that could support the ability to get reimbursed for helping provide clinical preventive services. But that's a little bit farther along than I think we are, but it would be a nice place to go so that we can achieve these goals. And these reports are very well aligned with this effort. So if you want more information, we call this the CHIP study. I forgot to say that. And we did field test the CHIPS acronym, and it kind of broke out by age group. So for those of you who may remember Eric Estrada in CHIPS, it's really kind of, some people said, well, that's what it makes me think of. It makes me think of Eric Estrada and CHIPS. And then other people said it made them think of potato chips. And then microchips was another one. So we could do a little project on that. But anyway, thank you.
If anybody wants to call again,